Greetings and welcome to Trottle Up. This is a radio show and podcast that showcases critical thinking and complex problem solving. And it is designed to inform, delimit, empower, and amaze. Now, all aboard the Trottle Up Express, powered by High Velocity Reason, and I am your host, Captain Kevin Smith, U.S. Navy retired. Now, I'm a naval aviator and former squadron commander and Top Gun instructor as a naval aviator. And also, I'm a pioneer in the field of some aspects of critical thinking and complex problem solving, and of course, high velocity reason. Now, our tagline for the show is to accelerate beyond the ordinary. So we could say that we are not ordinary thinkers, you and I, but we are different and we are out of the box thinkers. Our motto for the show is to employ high velocity reason to achieve high octane performance. And in a nutshell, that basically means to stay out ahead of the problem. That's particularly important if we want to achieve success. Now, our mission statement for the show, and this changes a little bit from time to time, but this is a pretty good mission statement, is to provide our listening audience with a relatively easy yet effective way to strengthen our power of reason through the employment of critical thinking. Now, our website, the address here is throttleupradio.com. That's throttleupradio.com. That's the address for the website. And before we close on our introduction, I wanted to say that our audio engineering services is provided by Evergroove Studios, and they are located in Evergreen, Colorado, which is right outside of Denver on the west side. Highly recommend their services for anyone who wants to get involved with audio. It could be any kind of audio that you might have in mind, including music, by the way. Also, graphics artist services and media support is provided by Reflections Printing, and the gal is Jennifer. She heads up this organization, and she owns it as well. And Jennifer does a great job with all of our media support, is a fantastic graphics artist and media production specialist, and her phone number is 435-574-0422. That's 435-574-0422. And before we close the introduction, I want to say that the show is typically organized into three parts. So part one of Throttle Up is critical thinking, or an ongoing discussion of various aspects of critical thinking and complex problem solving. Part two is our storyboard, and the storyboard is a story of America, or a story of Americans, story of an individual. It could be any kind of story, but it all relates to trying to get our arms around this whole thing, which we call critical thinking and complex problem solving. And then part three is our radio essay. Now, our radio essay is typically a little bit more in-depth treatment of a particular subject. We do not intend for this to be boring. But for those who would like a little bit more info on certain things that we cover in part one and part two, then part three typically is a way for us to get a little bit further into a subject matter and understand it better. Okay, all aboard the Throttle Up Express. This is a place where all critical thinkers and complex problem solvers are welcome with open arms. Welcome back to Throttle Up for this week. And now that the introduction for the show is over, I wanted to let you all know that this is a special edition of Throttle Up. And we're doing a number of special editions. I'll get to the reason for that in just a second. This is special edition on innovation number 3. So there's two others that have already been recorded. And this is the third installment of the special edition series on innovation in America. Or if you would like to say America, the innovation nation, and that all works. It's basically it's on innovation. And the reason for that is pretty obvious and quite profound. I was kind of, well, all of us on this side of the mic was kind of surprised at this development, but delighted too, because we've been talking about critical thinking, complex problem solving, innovation, creativity for quite some time on this radio show. And all of a sudden, Newt Gingrich comes out with this innovation agenda. And now innovation is a national agenda item. So that's good for all of us. And it's also good for America because it kind of highlights what I think what America is really great at. You know, if we had to look at what is America really, really good at? Okay, we could say lots of things. We could come up with all kinds of technological explanations and all kinds of socioeconomic explanations for that. And they're all certainly valid. But if you wanted to get right down to the essence of the answer, or what is the fundamental or the first principle answer? My view, and I think a lot of other people share this view, but my view is that when all is said and done, America is known for and is really good at innovation. We can expand that a little bit by saying innovation, creativity. It's pretty much the same thing. And so that's the reason for this series of shows that address themselves to innovation. But it's also right now, you know, top of the news items. There's lots of going on in this country and across the world. I know that President Trump now is in Europe talking to the NATO organization there. So there's lots and lots of things going on. But what is really going on that's not going to go away is this whole effort to highlight and promote the idea of innovation. So that's what we're going to do. Before I start, I do want to mention again that we have mentioned before, but we have an expanded schedule, weekend schedule on Red State Talk Radio. We are on 6 times every weekend on both channels on Red State Talk Radio. And we're really excited about this new development, and we are grateful to the folks at Red State Talk Radio for making this happen. And so the 6 times are on both channels, as I say. We have an expanded presence on the weekends on the main channel, both Saturday and Sunday, and also the Encore channel Saturday and Sunday as well. Check the times, the Eastern times, then on the Red State Talk Radio website. I'll give you one. Probably my favorite time right now is Saturday at 8 p.m. on the main channel. And the reason for that is that, as you can imagine, if that's an Eastern time, 8 p.m. on the main channel, then, of course, Central would be 7, Mountain would be 6 p.m., and Pacific would be 5 p.m. So those are all great times for our Saturday series of shows. Okay, so let us press on with this continuing story of innovation in America. What is it? How do we get it? And why do we need it? The three big questions that all critical thinkers should ask themselves whenever they encounter something that is being offered. What exactly is it? How do I get it? And why do I need it? Okay, here we go. So we're going to put on our thinking cap, and we are going to get on the Throttle Up Express. And we're going to take a journey into the land of innovation. So stay with me. I promise to do the very best that I can as your narrator and guide into this land of innovation. But you can also certainly stop. If you're listening to this on podcast, you can certainly stop it. It is available, by the way, on podcast format on iTunes. And just plug in Throttle Up or Throttle Up Radio. They both work, and then you can find it. We do have a website, throttleupradio.com, and we do post blogs periodically. Right now we're beginning to do that, and we plan to do that every week to have a new blog posted. And so I would encourage all of you to go there and visit our website as well. All right, so we are now taking the journey into the world of innovation, and welcome to the new intellectual frontier as we travel on the Throttle Up Express. So let me give you some definitions here. Innovation could be defined as follows. Well, before we get to the definition, let me just introduce this. Getting a little bit ahead of myself, but that sometimes I do that when I kind of get excited about a subject, like I am today. So, as a prelude to this, or as an introduction, as we get aboard the Throttle Up Express and venture into this new intellectual frontier, I'm going to address the group this way, as a way to welcome aboard all of you. Innovation is now a national agenda item and is being proposed as a platform initiative for the Trump Republican Party. Innovation is considered especially important in the areas of healthcare, education, governmental programs and government efficiency, military and defense systems and operations. Also, and we'll get into this on the show, hypersonic passenger transport. This is something new. It's actually not new. It's being reemphasized. Hypersonic military operations, which is a really an exciting field, and manned space exploration and colonization of the solar system. Now, these areas, and we're going to get into this very shortly, but all of these areas that we talked about are being suggested by Newt Gingrich. He deserves a great deal of credit for bringing this to the forefront. Not only this idea of innovation, but also specific areas that we ought to target as a nation to continue our legacy of innovation. I will continue by saying the following. these are related subjects that have recently occurred, and I'm putting them out there so that we can create a big picture of this this landscape that we call innovation. What does it consist of? And what does it look like, at least conceptually? So let me offer the following. Critical thinking and complex problem solving is the most sought after skill in the global job market, but the most difficult to fill. And that was presented recently by the World Economic Forum in their Future of Jobs report. Also, more and more companies are promoting themselves as solutions providers instead of just selling products. And you know that we've talked about that before. Also, issues relating to complexity are now being studied as a separate course of instruction, which is particularly important if we're going to address ourselves to complex problem solving. We need to understand two things. We need to understand how to think critically, and we need to understand what does it mean when we encounter something that is complex. It could be a complex problem. It could be a complex environment. It could be a complex system, or all three. What does that mean? And how should we optimize our thinking mechanisms and our cognitive processes to address ourselves in a productive way to things that are complex? Also, issues relating to product design are now being distinguished as being separate from engineering, with the intent of providing total customer satisfaction. Now, that is a really big deal, and that's happening across the board. So we are now venturing into this arena. Many, many organizations, many, many enterprises are venturing into this new intellectual frontier where we're rethinking everything, not only how we go about business, but what are we providing to the customer? What exactly are we providing to the customer? If we are after total customer satisfaction, what exactly does that mean? And how does that unlock the potential for innovation? Finally, thinking in terms of systems instead of components is now being encouraged, and that is an innovation in itself. To be able to look at something from a systems standpoint, this is also called systems thinking, and that is an innovation in thinking, if you will. All right. And so we have this whole process of what I call cognition, or the ability to reason. And how do we amplify our power of reason? Can our power of reason be amplified? That's the first question. Okay. If you, let's say, for the sake of argument, that you believe that is true, or that it could be true, that we could actually improve or amplify our power of reason. If we think that's true, then how do we go about doing that is a big, big question. And it's something that we're going to be talking about for a very long period of time on this show. And we hope that we are going to contribute to that discussion in a meaningful way, and that we can actually together come to grips with it and to answer the question, how exactly do we amplify our power of reason? Okay, innovation. Let's continue. We're journeying now, and we have come across these areas that we want to discuss on our journey into the intellectual, into the land of innovation. Innovation is, by definition, the realization of a new idea, product, service, or process. Innovation is something new. Entrepreneurs continuously look for better ways to satisfy customer needs. Peter Drucker says, with respect to innovation, innovation is the specific function of the entrepreneur. It is the means by which the entrepreneur either creates new wealth-producing resources or endows existing resources with enhanced potential for creating value. One of the greatest, certainly in my era, I would say one of the greatest innovators that America has ever produced is a guy by the name of Richard T. Whitcomb. Richard T. Whitcomb is, of course, near and dear to my heart because he was an aeronautical engineer and worked principally in the area of aerodynamics. He was born in 1921 and he passed away in 2009. He was awarded, among other things, the Collier Trophy, the National Medal of Science, and NASA Distinguished Service Medal. He is known for three breakthrough innovations. They are, one, area rule. This all applies to what I'm going to talk about here is it all applies to aerodynamics. Area rule was the first one. Supercritical airfoil was the second. And the third one was winglets. Okay, and we'll have a lot more to say about him in the future as we profile some people who were what I consider to be great innovators as an example of American innovation and as a motivator for all of us, as a role model, mentor, you name it, all right, as an inspiration. I guess that's the word I've been searching for here, as an inspiration for all of us that to think outside the box, and it doesn't really matter. You know, Peter Drucker has spent a lot of time thinking about and talking and writing about innovation. It doesn't matter what your field of interest is. It doesn't matter what your vocation is. It doesn't matter if you are a housewife or a house husband, or you are involved in the technical industry, the financial industry, or health industry, or you name it. It simply doesn't matter. Innovation is available to you. And don't think it's not. Innovation is available to everyone. It crosses all domains, and it is proven to have crossed all domains from the casual worker to the super professional. It crosses all domains, and it doesn't. I'm not even sure exactly why that is, but it certainly is a tribute to the American intellect. It is a tribute to how we go about our lives and how we think. All right, so Richard Whitcomb is, of course, one of the great American innovators, but I'm going to touch on something here and start expanding on it on future shows, and that is this. Innovation doesn't happen just by itself. Innovation does not exist in and of itself. Innovation is always the result of a problem or a situation that has been encountered that precedes it. Okay? So a problem or a situation or an occurrence that precedes the discovery, the innovative discovery, or the innovative solution to the problem. And so are we problem focused? Do we understand everything we need to know about problem analysis? Do we understand everything we need to know about constructing the problem space before we jump into trying to solve the problem? Let us spend some time clarifying the problem. When you follow things like, all right, how did Whitcomb do that? Well, you know, he was really, really good at thoroughly understanding the problem first. And this applies across the board. If you look at all great innovators, all great innovations that have come out of America, right? What was the problem they were trying to deal with first and foremost? And in fact, how is it that they were able to clarify the problem so well? So the clarification of the problem is the key, one of the keys to success. And the second one is the realization, and this is becoming more and more recognized across the board, the realization that all problems are, or a problem, or all problems are not unique unto themselves. All problems share certain common characteristics. I know that sounds counterintuitive, and I know that sounds like Kevin has lost his mind. Okay. Yes. Well, maybe that's... maybe Kevin has lost his mind, but I'm not sure that that means that he's wrong. Okay. I would suggest to you that all problems do share, in fact, certain common characteristics. Certainly, all complex problems. A complex problem is, in fact, a short-lived complex entity. This is something that has occurred that represents complexity in some form, and it exists for a short period of time, and then either resolves itself, goes away, or produces some kind of disastrous result. Nevertheless, it is in fact its own entity, if you will. It is in fact its own system. It's a conceptual construct, it's a conceptual system, and it is in fact complex. Now, all things that are complex do, in fact, share certain common characteristics. You'd be surprised how many, we talked about this before, but you'd be surprised how many characteristics are common across all things that are complex. Okay, now, before we get into that, and we'll cover that later on in future shows, but I wanted to point this out, is that before we have the innovation, something has occurred. Something has occurred in the lives of these people who that we are now recognizing as world-class innovators. Something has occurred in their lives. What is it that they were able to discover, if you will, or able to clarify that others were not? And that is one of the keys to innovation success. You know, once I think if you, and this is of course going to sound really counterintuitive, because when we think of innovation, we begin to think of things that were already produced or things that were already created, and we think of them in terms of their physical manifestation, largely their physical manifestation in the technological arena. but we don't understand that they began their beginnings, or they began as an idea. They didn't begin as a piece of hardware or software or whatever. They began as an idea. Now, how is it that this idea occurred to these people? So the idea occurred to these people because they were confronted with something that we would call a problem. They were confronted with some kind of difficulty, and through the process of understanding the problem and clarifying it in a very meaningful way, they were able to come up with a innovation through the process of imagination. Okay. Now you say, well, Kevin, you covered a lot of ground there. Yes, I know that I have. I know I've covered a lot of ground. I know I'm probably getting a little bit ahead of myself. But I am, you know, carrying on a conversation too, and working to come up with the, you know, with the right words and phrases and ideas to put out there into the marketplace of ideas. Okay, but hopefully I've made some progress here for all of us, including myself, in terms of recognizing that innovation doesn't just occur by itself. Innovation is a response to something that we would like to change, to something, let's just say it, to some problem that has occurred that we would like to solve, right? We want to be problem solvers, or to make it a little clearer, we want to be able to solve complex problems. We want to find solutions to some of the more pressing problems that we have encountered in our personal lives, the lives of our family or organization, or the lives of our great nation. All right. Okay, so let's see. Have I covered? Yes, I have. Now we're going to take a short break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to be talking about Newt Gingrich and his great ideas concerning the revolution in hypersonics and space exploration and colonization. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back to Throttle Up for this week. And this is a, as I said, this is a part three of our a series on innovation. We're doing a series of special editions of Throttle Up, which we will play from time to time. This is particularly important because innovation now is a national agenda item, and it is being promoted by, among others, Newt Gingrich. It is a national agenda item, and it's being proposed as a platform initiative for the Trump Republican Party, along with tax cuts and deregulation. So existing on the same level as tax cuts and deregulation as a political party platform, we have proposed by Newt Gingrich innovation. And as I said, innovation is considered to be especially important in the areas of healthcare, education, government, military, as well as commerce and travel. All right. So what exactly does Newt Gingrich have to say about commerce and travel? And I guess you would say international business or global business operations. What has he got to say about that? As well as what do we do about space? What do we do about manned space exploration and colonization? What do we do about space? Space has been languishing on the back burner for some time. And so he has a lot to say about that also. So he has grouped these two things together in a rather interesting viewpoint article in a publication that, as you would imagine, I get having being a aviation professional and being in the business for a long time, and I still write some stuff. I'm no longer young enough to actively fly military or commercial airplanes, but I'm still active in terms of writing articles and doing research in this area. Magazine is called, this periodical is called Aviation Week in Space Technology. And Newt has a fascinating viewpoint article. It's one page, and I'm gonna read most of it. And as I do so, keep in mind that I'm gonna also interject my own thoughts and ideas in this thing. So it's gonna be a little bit of a rambling expose, but I'll try to make it as interesting as possible. I do think it's extremely important as we enter into this realm of innovation this area that we call innovation, as we journey into this arena that we call innovation, how should we think about it? And here's some thoughts from Newt Gingrich. He starts off by saying that the U.S. is on the brink of a tremendous tipping point of commercial, military, and political opportunities. This historic moment is enabled by a combination of reusable rockets and hypersonic vehicle technologies. In fact, he says, the coming intersection of reusable launch and hypersonic flight offers the kind of opportunities not seen since the invention of the steam power locomotive. These technologies could soon allow humans to travel anywhere on the globe in a couple of hours. Now, let me stop here and say that that is a profound insight. And that's we talk about this all the time. I have talked about it. Many, many people talk about it, which is the power of vision. Okay, we talk about amplifying our power of reason. How do we do that? Well, one of the ways that we can amplify our power of reason is to be able to establish a vision of the future. We could visualize and conceptualize what the future could look like instead of being throttled by negativity and throttled by the fact that, oh, well, we can't do this because of that, or such and such a thing is going to prevent us from doing that kind of thing. Those kinds of negative thoughts have no place in the area, in this world of innovation. So the world of innovation is what we want to occupy. And the world of innovation, as Newt has pointed out in his work, as well as what I have often said in much of my work, the world of innovation is is enthusiasm and a can-do spirit. It's optimism instead of pessimism. It is looking at the world in a way that suggests there are unlimited opportunities to succeed. There's unlimited opportunities for us to improve upon what we are doing to get better and to come up with these breakthrough ideas that makes that produces value, enormous amount of value for this great country of ours and its citizens. Okay, so let me continue with this article. These technologies, which you talked about, which was the hypersonic flight and reusable launch vehicles, so space and atmosphere. So we're talking about space in terms of our solar system, utilizing reusable rockets and other kinds of things, all right, as well as hypersonic flight. These technologies could soon allow humans to travel anywhere on the globe in a couple of hours and provide consistent low-cost access to space. This will be a tremendous boon to U.S. commerce. Meanwhile, a fleet of hypersonic military vehicles could revolutionize the way we defend our country. If the railroad opened and secured our continent, the combination of reusable rockets and hypersonics will open and secure our solar system. The vision of burgeoning economic growth on the space frontier and a hypersonic military protecting the peace is very real, he says, but it is far from guaranteed. He goes on to say that as with all great visions, creating the reality requires time, talent, and treasure. Moreover, as Machiavelli pointed out 500 years ago, where the vision replaces existing systems and capabilities, those representing the status quo will fight to preserve the old order. No matter how superior the new systems and technologies may be, change is hard and can only be accomplished with strong leadership, great people, short chains of command, incentives, and often money. As I point out in Trump's America, Newt goes on, the truth about our nation's great comeback. President Trump and Vice President Mike Pence are at a near-perfect nexus of opportunity. These imperatives can help catapult the vision to reality. He goes on by saying, one, a programmatic initiative. That's item one. This is easy, but it requires the will to budget equally for the technology of hypersonic rocket-powered space planes, boost glide vehicles, and atmospheric high-speed aircraft over the objections of those representing the status quo. We should establish a major space plane and hypersonics initiative within the Office of the Secretary of Defense, just as President Ronald Reagan did years ago with the Strategic Defense Initiative. A key part of this initiative should be or should include investment in both near and far-term technologies, as well as experimental vehicles, that is the X-planes, that prove the potential for aircraft-like access to space. The office should work closely with the military services, the Commerce Department, NASA, other agencies, and industry to achieve its goals. Although not all the technologies and systems will warrant industry cost share, many will, and the initiative should take advantage of this where appropriate. Item two, a political imperative. Whenever money flows, political support is also needed. The support and advocacy of the president and vice president are critical. However, Congress controls the purse and must also be on board to ensure Congress understands and supports the vision. It should be prudent to ask the Aerospace States Association, headed by state lieutenant governors, to evaluate the potential economic benefits of space planes and hypersonic flight, because all but two states have limited or no space launch capabilities. There likely will be strong interest in bringing active spaceports to the other 48 states. Indeed, a quarter century ago, when I, this is Newt, was Speaker of the House, and McDonnell Douglas was developing the reusable Delta Clipper launch system, the association was one of their strongest advocates. Their support convinced me and dozens of other representatives and senators to send a bipartisan letter of support to the Defense Department. Item three, an economic imperative, a means to incentivize further private sector investment and government-sponsored growth is essential. Federal, state, and municipal governments all have many mechanisms to create growth. Tax incentives can encourage strong investments by institutional investors on Wall Street. As with any incentive, they need to be managed carefully, and the federal government clearly has an obligation not to incentivize systems or technologies that are impractical. However, the Commerce Department, with its new charter to oversee the growth of space launch and satellite systems, should step up to this additional task while working with the Defense Department space plane and hypersonic initiative. So we have the Commerce Department, this is me speaking now, so with the Commerce Department and the Defense Department working hand in glove. Again, this is another innovation that Newt has come up with. So he's talking about innovation, but everything he talks about is either a better idea, or it is a completely new idea, or breaks out of the box and is thinking outside the box. And it's one innovative thought on top of another, which produces this brainstorm of innovation. And so, you know, that is a great example for all of us. If we are going to brainstorm, how about brainstorm innovation? How about creating a brainstorm for innovation and coming up with innovative ideas on top of other innovative ideas, or more than one innovative idea? How about a whole set of innovative ideas that produce an end result that is spectacular? Let's think of it that way. Let me finish up this article, because I think it's particularly important. America's future is at a global tipping point, Newt says. If we make wise decisions, we will open the solar system to commerce, settlement, and industrialization in this century. If we make poor decisions, others will take the lead. We can also reap benefits on Earth from better transportation systems, global communications, improved resource management, and vastly superior common defense. We can, in time, even ease the pressure to exploit every resource on our planet by transitioning to the limitless resources beyond. He concludes by saying that in the process, we can build a 21st century economy, that will provide millions of high-paying jobs, a greatly expanded tax base, and the export of American freedom and values to the space frontier. It will not be easy, but we did it once before when the West was young. We can do it again. Newt Gingrich, of course, is the former Speaker of the House of Representatives and is currently a member of the National Space Council User Advisory Group. All right. Well, that certainly is a very, very interesting development in this area that we call innovation, or this national initiative that is embracing this whole idea of innovation, right? And as we close our show for the week, I want to point out a couple of things that I mentioned before, and we're going to be talking about them again. Innovation doesn't occur by itself, as I said. Innovation is the result of something. Innovation actually is a process of discovery. If you had to say what, you know, we talk about, you know, lots of things that are related, lots of things that are interrelated. We talk about problem solving. We talk about complex problem solving. We talk about critical thinking. We talk about innovation, creativity, and imagination. What is all of this? This is all related to a process of discovery. We want to discover something that doesn't exist, but we think it could. We want to discover a solution to a complex problem because the complex problem needs to be solved, and we need to find a solution to a particularly vexing problem that we call a complex problem. And that's the key, all right? So we're going to be talking about this more as we go forward on our future shows because it is a now, I'm going to go right out there and just say that now innovation is the national initiative. Critical thinking and complex problem solving go hand in glove with innovation, and that certainly promotes and justifies this radio show and podcast as part of the response to this call for nationally inspired innovation. Or the way we can say that is America, the innovation nation. Thank you all for listening, and we will see you all next week. Well, that went fast. So this is a close of another show, another Throttle Up. And before I go, I would like to acknowledge a few people. I'd like to thank my listening audience for being here. And I would like to thank Red State Talk Radio for providing us an opportunity for each and every weekend to put on this radio show that we call Throttle Up. And I would like to thank all of you veterans out there. Thank you for your service. And I would like to thank the families of the veterans. Thank you for supporting this noble cause. And I would like to thank all of you on active duty in the Guard and the Reserve. Thank you for serving this great country of ours. And with that, I would like to say goodbye, and we will see you all again next week.